Welcome to Directions on the News for Tuesday, February 13th, 2007. This is Joe Francica of Directions Media. Thanks for joining us. Adina is in San Francisco this week attending a press briefing for Autodesk. We'll get to the top news of the week shortly, but first a word from our sponsor, ESRI.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Attend the Developer Summit in Palm Springs, California, March 19th through the 22nd. The conference features in-depth technical sessions and opportunities to interact one-on-one with ESRI development staff. To register, visit www.esri.com/directionsmag.
Today we'll quickly look at Navtech's yearly financials, Safe Software's support of GeoRSS, free maps from Nokia, and the FGDC is looking for your comments on metadata, plus detailed reports on the federal USGS budget for fiscal 2008 and my take on the Surf Skyhook deal. First, the news. Navtech reported fourth quarter and full year 2006 operating results, with revenue in the quarter rising 24% over the fourth quarter of 2005 to $180.7 million, noting operating income growing 51% over the prior year. Now, for the full year, 2006 revenue was $581 million, representing a growth of 17% over 2005. But the good news really didn't help the stock much, as shares dropped 3% on Friday by $1.09 to $35.40 per share. Navtech concluded the purchase of Map Network this quarter. That left Navtech with $322 million in cash and marketable securities and no debt. Nokia announced that it was making its Smart2Go mapping and navigation platform available for free download. The platform allows for mapping and routing in over 150 countries, and support for full-turn satellite navigation is available for 30 countries. The Federal Geographic Data Committee is inviting metadata practitioners to review the draft North American profile on metadata. Now, this profile was developed in conjunction with the International Committee for Technology Standards, known as INSIGHTS. Now, this is the U.S. Technical Advisory Group to the International Committee for Geographic Standards, the ISO TC211 Group on Geographic Information and Geomatics. The review is open for review and ballot to committee members. However, review is sought by other metadata practitioners. The comments are critical here to assure that the profile meets the needs of the geographic information community in both the U.S. and Canada. So, if you're a metadata guru, your comments are now sought. Safe Software announced support for GeoRSS, allowing feature manipulation engine users to take advantage of one of the web's methods for disseminating spatial information. That's really simple syndication, or RSS, as well as atom feeds that include location-based information. Adina noted this in her APB blog post, that you need to be careful because while these are standards, they've not been approved by anyone, just put out there by their creators. The President of the United States issued his fiscal year 2008 budget request for the USGS. This proposed budget is for funding of $975 million, which begins this October. The budget continues to focus USGS capabilities on what it says are the highest priorities and research needs. Now, let's reflect a second on the nation's needs, because the USGS director noted that the emphasis will be on energy research to help USGS scientists look more closely at potentially important future resources to meet the nation's energy needs. Now, this included a $2 million increase to meet the mandates of the Energy Policy Act of 2005, including a national assessment of oil shale resource. Now, this is interesting to me because, as you recall, there was a lot of work done in the early and mid-1980s on a large oil shale project in Colorado, both by the USGS and by private oil companies. And I just have to ask myself if this work isn't already sitting around on somebody's shelf. Now let's look at this week's news more in depth. Navtech attributed their growth to three primary areas. The company said that the penetration of the in-vehicle navigation market increased steadily despite poor auto sales due to higher gas prices and the fact that the retail value of these systems remained at about $2,000. The second reason was that the personal navigation device market continued to grow, with Navtech units climbing 42% in the fourth quarter alone. And the third reason was that the wireless mapping applications for mobile phones gained traction with consumers in the U.S. led by Verizon's VZ Navigator. Lastly, I wanted to note that in Europe, the European growth for Navtech revenues grew 25%, its best rate in 2 years, based on the PND market, personal navigation, helped by mass merchandisers selling the new TomTom portable product, and Garmin's product line did well, too. A little closer look at the FY 2008 budget for the USGS. Now, this continues funding for operations and maintenance of Landsats 5 and 7. The budget also funds efforts with NASA and the Landsat science team to continue development of the Landsat Data Continuity Mission, the LDCM. The budget includes $24 million for Landsat 8. Now, Landsat 8 is also known by another acronym called the OLI, or Operational Land Imager. You won't find Landsat 8 specifically, those terms mentioned on the USGS website much. So I contacted my old friend John Dwyer, one of the principal scientists with the LDCM at the Aeros Data Center, about when the Landsat bird will fly. Now, some of the blog posts had mentioned back in January that the launch date was 2010. John, though, is telling me that they're now looking at mid-year 2011. The SURF announcement this week licensing Skyhook's Wi-Fi positioning system, the WPS, is further evidence of the rapid convergence of location technologies that is shaping enterprise computing and consumer gadgetry. SURF will release a premium-priced chip later this year that will combine the Skyhook WPS and its existing GPS solutions into a single position-determining system as part of SURF's multi-mode location platform. The result will be seamless integration of GPS and 802.11 standards for acquiring location and serving a single geographic reference point to a location-based application. Now, this is the next step in what I see as a race to innovation between location technology companies. This is not an unexpected announcement. It was even predictable. We expected that GPS and Wi-Fi would be integrated in order to mitigate the deficiencies of both technologies to retrieve a geographic location. The applications that can be spawned from this announcement start with handset manufacturers who will now determine how to implement the newly combined system. These are companies like Motorola, Nokia, and Samsung who have contracts with the wireless carriers to build the next wave of mobile handsets, building fashion, form, and function into a single lightweight design. The location acquisition of the handset will be transparent, automatic, and accurate to users. Now that we can ascertain a position with two disparate technologies on a single platform, we got to ask, what's next? The handshake between GPS and Skyhook's WPS occurs at the application layer, not on the chip itself. Now, this is an assumption that the device will already have an 802.11 chip, a decision that is also the domain of the carrier or the device designer. The consumer doesn't care really about, but assumes that the two technologies will work in tandem. Now, let's take this assumption to another logical extreme. Businesses and government need to track goods, lots of them, some expensive, some dangerous. In the case of Homeland Security, it's no longer acceptable to know just 10% of the shipments that are entering the country. We need to know the location of all of them. GPS and Wi-Fi won't completely solve this problem. Think about RFID. Think about Bluetooth. Enter any frequencies that can determine a fixed location or work with other known receptors of signal technology. The integration of multi-sensor technologies on a single platform is an expectation that will eventually be realized, and the current breakthrough of GPS and Wi-Fi is a precursor to other developments. Just in closing, I want to remind everyone that ESRI's 27th Annual International Conference is going to be held June 18th to the 22nd this year in San Diego. Online registration is available now. For more information, visit www.esri.com/directionsmag. Thanks for joining us for another Directions Media podcast. We're glad you tuned in today. Please join us next week and be sure to tell a friend.